In this week's Capital Connections, the topic is TVMT, the service that provides statewide televised coverage of the Montana legislature and state government. Essentially, it's Montana C-SPAN. I'm Jackie Yamanaka. Over the weekend, the Helena Independent Record newspaper had a story with the headline, Senate passes bill allowing state control of legislative coverage. It was in response to the final approval given to Senate Bill 40 last week in the Montana Senate. Helena Civic Television, or HCTV, is the first and current contractor for TVMT. And as a point of disclosure, YPR has, with permission, used the audio feed from TVMT for its live coverage of the governor's State of the State address and the response. This includes from last night. So tonight, guests Senator John Sesso and HCTV's Stephen Maley will talk about why Senate Bill 40 was introduced and what is the future of providing Montanans with unfiltered access to watch their government in action.
I want to welcome Senator John Sesso, the Senate Minority Leader. We're sitting here in your office. And what we're here to talk about this week is what is the future of basically the Montana legislature's C-SPAN. We know it as TVMT. You're carrying a committee bill, Senate Bill 40. Why don't you just remind our listeners, what is the intent of this bill?
Well, the intent is just two things. One is to widen the scope of possibilities for our TVMT. It started out as a partnership back in 01, and the world has changed since 01 with respect to availability of programs and the content of our legislative process. We have it now online, a very sophisticated process. We have it on TV, on cable TV, so we can get to the hinterlands. But we've enjoyed a great partnership with HCTV, and it's just a matter of business. That has been, for all intents and purposes, a sole source contract with HCTV, and the taxpayers, I think, number one, the people who pay for this service and demand it, and the legislative body want us to make sure we're operating that contract like we do all others, and that is to put out what is essentially a request for proposals, see who bids on it, and get and select the most qualified bid. And that's what it does. It expands rather than just a nonprofit 501c3. It opens it up to public institutions, our university sector, even private university sector, so that they might have a better idea. We have no idea whether they do or they don't, but a little competition never hurts the delivery of a service, and that's what we're doing. We're going to release, should the bill pass, we're going to release a request for proposals from all comers who qualify under the new law, and then we'll pick the most qualified and most cost-effective provider based on the proposals we receive.
It has been suggested in some of the newspaper stories that have been written locally, I'm talking about Helena, that the spat started over money. And, you know, this was a way, you know, correct me, is that incorrect?
To a certain extent, we had a contract dispute this past summer. Our provider had been providing services, and, you know, the contract is a not-to-exceed contract. It spells out specific services, and, you know, the bottom line was that they asked for a supplemental, if you will, beyond what we had available as a legislature, and it led to the realization that the contractor, HCTV, anticipated that they could just bill whatever their costs were, and the Legislative Council said, no, we have a not-to-exceed contract here, and you should have made some decisions along the way once you realize that your costs of providing the service were exceeding the dollars that were available. It was kind of incumbent upon you to work with the Legislative Services Bureau and make sure that you weren't going to go over budget. And so then when we So we resolved that the best we could. They passed, and then when we started negotiating at kind of simultaneously next year's contract to cover the session now and then the next interim, you know, then there was a dispute that, well, we don't want to have these types of contract terms that would require you to stay within the amounts, etc. And so then we got together as legislative council and said, well, okay, well, fine, we'll then go the RFP route and see what the market will bear.
Okay. And you mentioned on the Senate floor when it came up for debate before the entire Senate, this isn't really a dispute. You said you would like HCTV to bid. So are you saying basically this isn't a retaliation?
No, not at all. I think this is just a business decision. We want to operate MTTV to make sure that the taxpayers and the legislative branch is getting the most cost-effective service that we can. You know, the costs have been going up. You know, the cost to cover the session this time, for example, is 24% greater than it was last time, with two less months, because we only signed an interim contract through the legislative session, and we hope to get through this process to cover the interim in the future. So, no, this is really, I think that the partnership has gone very well, but, you know, the provider is presumes that this should continue to be a sole source contract to the HCTV, and we are being pushed by the members of the legislature, and I think the taxpayer want to make sure that, you know, getting the best bang for our buck, and I hope that HCTV does give us the best bang for our buck. On the other hand, in committee and in hearings, there have been a variety of ideas that might surface. One idea was the University of Montana's Journalism School might use this as a training project. Local colleges here, the idea of weaving the coverage of the legislature and learning how to use these tools. You know, it's the legislature who owns all the cameras and all of the switching and routing equipment. And so the idea of using it as a teaching moment or as an opportunity for people to learn these skills is an option. I personally think that the provider's doing a fabulous job, and hopefully they'll sharpen the, when the scope of services is released that we're asking for, they'll sharpen their pencil and give us the best price, and we'll move forward the way we always have.
And it's my understanding in the bill, it was written as a safety net if no outside vendor comes forth, then legislative services would take over.
Yes, we didn't want to be in the position we were as late as November this year, where we were, you know, 60 days away from the session starting and no contractor because of the particular dispute that you spoke of earlier. So that's really just the last resort. I also think there's been a little bit of a misnomer about the integrity of the system. The current law, you know, without any change that is brought forward by my bill, the statute is very clear on who's in charge of operating this system, and that is the legislative branch. So nothing changes in that regard. This is a service that has been in demand by members of the public. They really like it. I think it has revolutionized access to the legislative process. It's been grandly successful, and we've enjoyed a good partnership, but there is a limit to the amount of dollars we may be able to afford to provide this service, just like the other piece about the satellite services to get it on cable. You know, that when that contract comes due next time, we'll be looking seriously on whether there's other better options to take care of that piece. And if not, and we choose to maybe make a change there, we make a change there. I don't want to just reduce it to just online streaming, but you know, dollars are dollars, and you know, we're in tough times, and everybody's got to realize that, you know, you just can't have continuing escalated costs. So I'm hoping that this is a good change. I believe it's a good change. I'm hoping that it leads to the kind of cost efficiencies and the kind of business approach to the delivery of this service that we can.
So I guess the core of the question is, are we going to continue to have, you know, whether it's TVMT or something like it, you know, direct access for viewers, listeners, et cetera, to be able to observe the legislative process, you know, where you have someone who is not biased saying, for political reasons, we're going to broadcast this particular hearing, or we're going to broadcast that particular hearing for political gain.
Yeah, no, I repeat that it's always been the way it is now. The Legislative Services Division works with our contractor to provide this service. I am not aware of one instance where any orders have been given to cover or to not cover a particular hearing or the like in the first 16 years, and I don't expect any of that to happen in the next 16 years and beyond. This is, like I said earlier, I think it's a revolutionary way to bring our legislative processes to the people of Montana. They're paying for them, and I think we have an obligation to make sure we're getting the best bang for our buck, and that's what this is about. The integrity wasn't in question before, and I don't think it should be in question in the future.
I want to thank you very much, Senator John Sesso of Butte, the Senate Minority Leader.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for visiting about this issue. I want to welcome Stephen Maley, who takes care of the management operations for TVMT, for HCTV, Helena Community Television. He came across the hall to the little office here where I work out of. Thank you, Stephen, for dropping by.
Well, thanks for having me here. And it's Helena Civic Television.
Helena Civic, I'm sorry.
Helena Community Television sounds great, and it's true, but formally, we are Helena Civic Television.
Helena Civic Television, I stand corrected. Thank you. And the reason we're here is because Yellowstone Public Radio depends quite a bit on TVMT. And there has been write-ups in the local paper, the Helena Independent Record, about what is the future of TVMT. And now we have Senate Bill 40 that's working its way through the process. Tell me your understanding of what Senate Bill 40 will do to, I guess, HCTV's role with TVMT.
Yeah, before I answer your question directly, I just want to say on the record that I am not urging people to vote against or for this particular bill. I'm keenly interested, as is HCTV as an organization, that people, the public and legislators, understand the origins of this bill and its likely consequences. So I have a lot to say about it, but I'm not, you know, strictly speaking, lobbying against this bill.
So in legislative speak, you are speaking as an informational witness.
Yeah, to the extent possible. Now, I know that, you know, strains credibility when people in the newspaper have talked to me and I've answered their questions, and we clearly have concerns about this bill. We don't think the consequences of its passage will be good for the public, but I'm just not saying to anybody, please vote against this bill. I'm just trying to be educational about it. So, you know, its origins stem from a failed contract renewal last August. You know, we've been doing this for quite a while, and we've been regarded as a sole source provider. That was not at our request. It was simply a convenience for the legislative services to have that assignation. So our contract's up for renewal. We know and have known that an RFP, a request for proposals, is due. We have no problem with that. Senate Bill 40 doesn't instigate or cause an RFP to happen. It was going to happen anyway. So those two things need to be kept separate. But in late August, our contract was up for renewal, and we faced contract terms and conditions that were impossible for us to agree to. Number one, we were going to have to forfeit all of our management and autonomous decision-making with regard to what is on TVMT, the scheduling, the programming, not just what happens in the legislature and during the interim, but all the other programming we bring to our channel. So we aren't going to give up our channel and our autonomy to make decisions about what's on when. Then there was a condition of the contract that had a fixed amount of compensation, but an unlimited amount of obligation. In other words, we have been faced with an obligation to cover every single interim committee and subcommittee, which we have done faithfully and actually happily. But the interims have ballooned, I would say flowered with activity. That's all to the good. And we bring that to the public. Under the direction of legislative services, we covered every single thing in this building in the last interim that we were required to do. However, they grossly miscalculated the volume of that production. And as a consequence, we did a lot more than they budgeted for. And that caused a problem in our contract renewal, because we had been promised that that could be adjusted through a contract amendment, no problems, don't worry about it. Well, come to fruition, it was over 500 hours of production activity that we did at the request and direction, and we weren't going to be compensated for it. So that caused a problem. And so our contract negotiations sort of broke down, and at the end of August, we basically had no renewal, so we stopped production. And at that point, legislative services personnel, I had to train them to run the cameras. They came in and did the remainder of the interim, and which wasn't much. So there we are. Senate Bill 40, getting to the point, would enable legislative services to issue a request for proposals. They write the terms and conditions. It's been made abundantly clear to us that there is a group of people who want to control and operate the system. And so there is ostensible competition for the RFP in the bill, and we are happy about that. You know, some university programs or college programs can respond to the RFP. We hope they do. We hope those terms and conditions are agreeable to somebody, including ourselves, but they're unlikely to be agreeable. This is kind of the sensitive item, is that the very people who have basically made it known that they want to control this completely are going to issue a request for proposals, and we don't know when. And we don't know what the money situation is, because the bill contains language that whatever the appropriation is, legislative services can spend themselves if they don't contract out. So I don't see much room for savings in that equation. And the last thing I'll say at this, before you ask me another question, is that the bill, if passed, is effective on passage and approval. There's no time. And not knowing when the RFP will be issued, it could be a done deal well before the legislature's done, and legislative services may find it no acceptable bids coming in from anybody, and there you go. It's now a government operation. And that, in principle, goes against the whole ethos of TVMT, which is transparency in government. To have a government agency managing its own transparency is just a fundamentally bad idea for public policy. And that has occurred in some other states, and problems arise. And I won't go into that unless asked what kinds of problems can arise.
Well, let me back up. The sponsor of the bill, when asked about that, said Legislative Services is a nonpartisan organization, that the legislature and Legislative Services, their staff, have not interfered with what is broadcast and what is put on. So why would there be suspicion that they would interfere in the future?
Well, all of that is true, and it's honorable. And I want to say, you know, before I forget, that when Senator Sesso introduced the bill on the Senate floor, he said many good things about HCTV, and they're all true. And I would say good things about him. I respect him greatly. I respect the citizen legislature beyond words. I really do. However, the programming that we produce outside of our contract on our channel, we have never, ever charged the legislature for those activities. I have to raise the money. HCTV has to do it for free on occasion. And that rumor has been spread throughout the building, much to my dismay, that we would ever charge for things we weren't actually under contract to do. But more to your question, if Legislative Services, it's nonpartisan, but it's political. In other words, politicians are in charge of the operation if it's not contracted out. They will, from time to time, have cause or motive to not carry certain programs, to not make them available on television. So it's not a matter of partisan politics. It's about politicization of an institution. And the enabling statute, which is being changed, not fundamentally, calls for coverage of all three branches of government. We have been true to that principle from day one. That's why we bring this external programming at no cost to the legislature. And my fear and expectation is that if Legislative Services takes control of all the programming, these other items will be crowded out. And they've made that pretty much known to the legislature in the last year and a half. They've been telling the Legislative Council, number one, it's your channel, it's not their channel, or they refer to it as our channel, that is Legislative Services channel. That's never been the case. And they have wonderful, ambitious plans for new programs about the legislative process, about the legislators themselves, all of which are fine, but there's only so much room on a channel. So my fear, again, is that the public will not be well served if there's nothing but legislative coverage on TVMT. What happens to the other branches of government?
The judicial and the executive.
Right. So I'm concerned about that, and I think other people are as well.
Now, folks in the communities, whether it is at home, at work, or in the schools, just to name a few, can tune in and watch the legislative process. They can watch their representatives and senators in action. Do you think Senate Bill 40 threatens their ability to access, and in what ways? Because they're not going to know necessarily that all of these other hearings or all of these other events are taking place. They're just going to tune in.
Well, you know, the process will continue. If the state agency takes over, much of what people are familiar with will stay the same. However, they won't know what they're not seeing. They will lose a tremendous value for their investment as taxpayers, because I predict that coverage of executive and executive and judicial branch activities will just be crowded out. So they won't know what they're missing, in effect. The other thing that concerns me is the cost of all of this. If we're not providing the channel as we are now at no cost, then will the cable company gift the state with a channel? That would be wonderful if they did, but there's no accounting for that in Senate Bill 40. There's no articulation or even concern in the discussions about Senate Bill 40 about what about this channel and carriage statewide.
Which people take as a given.
Yeah. The other thing with respect to your question is, you know, this is a budget session. We know costs are being constrained, and no one can argue about that. There's no provision in the bill that would reduce the cost. The same money that's appropriated that would pay a contractor, not necessarily us, anybody, is going to be spent on government FTEs and benefits and all that. And if in the end we don't know what that appropriation is, it's not set yet. It's hard to find what is the budget for TVMT going forward. But if it's significantly reduced, well then, production will be rationed. So the only way for legislative services to do this more cheaply than a private contractor can do it.
Like HCTV.
Like us. You know, we have very low overhead. We're a nonprofit. We're very affordable, if I could say that. The only way to reduce the cost is to ration the programming, ration the production, cut back on what is done. And that, to me, would be a sad event. Another thing that I worry about is that some people don't think having TVMT on television, I mean, it's hard to say TVMT without television, but having these proceedings not on television, but simply as an internet stream. Now, that could save a lot of money, but a lot of people would never see and hear and learn about their citizen legislature if it's only on the internet via a computer. You know, we know that that service, which is brilliant, that Legislative Services takes our video production and makes it available through their website. That's a wonderful service to lobbyists, to state employees, to professionals. It doesn't serve the working public who watches TVMT on television in the evening and on weekends because they have an appetite for it and don't have much inclination to go to their computer, you know, after hours to watch this sort of thing.
Well, unfortunately, if you can believe it, we are out of time to talk about Senate Bill 40 and the impact on HCTV's production of TVMT. But I want to thank you so much, Stephen Maley, who really oversees the TVMT project for HCTV. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Jackie.
Been listening to Capital Connections. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jackie Yamanaka. You can find this and past programs, as well as links and other resources on our website, ypradio.org. There you will also find other stories from the Montana Legislature. YPR and MTPR are teaming up to provide gavel-to-gavel coverage of the 2017 Montana Legislative Session. The Capital Connections theme music is courtesy of the Alex Nauman Trio. Capital Connections is a production of YPR News.